The reading is taken from Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself just what had happened.
On the first day of the week, so begins Luke's account of the most momentous day of history since, well, history began. This was the first day of the week, but it was also the first day of the rest of history. History had begun with the earth formless and empty, with the Spirit of God hovering over the waters of chaos, where the Word was with God in creating all things in heaven and on earth. This was the first day of creation, but creation got a second first day. Creation got to have a second chance as dawn broke over Jerusalem on that Sunday morning 2,000 or so years ago. The phrase "the first day," as Luke uses it, refers to the way the Jewish week was ordered, the day after the Sabbath being considered when the week began. Yet there is a deeper resonance here with the words "the first day." Because in Jesus' resurrection, there is a reordering of the universe. Because this isn't just the beginning of a new week. It was a new age, a new creation that was dawning. And in the resurrection of Jesus, such an era-defining change is declared. In Matthew's Gospel, there are earthquakes and the dead rising to show something amazing has happened. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are angels to announce that something momentous has occurred. This isn't just an ordinary Sunday. This isn't an ordinary kind of any day. This is Resurrection Day. And the wonder of the resurrection wasn't revealed to the great and the good. It was revealed to those who had been considered the least reliable of witnesses in first century culture. And that, unfortunately, was women. God, though, chooses those whom the world ignores as those to whom he first reveals the dawning of his new creation. A group of women go to the tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had gifted to Jesus, the same women who'd likely witnessed his burial 40 or so hours earlier. They go at the crack of dawn, eager to start the task they'd been unable to do before the Sabbath had begun, anointing Jesus' body with spices and oil. Yet they find something they did not expect, something that no one could have expected or perhaps something they should have expected, having been around Jesus for so long. The tomb entrance that had been guarded by a large stone was open. The stone rolled away. And going into the tomb, the women find it empty. The body of Jesus is not where they saw it laid on Friday evening. Before the shock and confusion of this discovery sinks in, something else that shocks and confuses occurs. Two men whose clothes gleam like lightning appear beside them. They are unmistakably angels, and they don't even bother with the usual angelic words of reassurance, don't be afraid. They just tell the women they are in the wrong place if they're looking for the living, because a tomb is a place for the dead, and Jesus is not here. And in three words, they reorder the universe. He has risen. None of the Gospels describe Jesus actually rising from the dead. All we get are pictures of the empty tomb. And the visible evidence of the resurrection is the empty tomb. The words of the angels confirm, but they offer no further proof. But then again, if you're an angel, what further proof are you going to give apart from your word? The angels who were the first to proclaim the good news of Jesus' birth are the first to proclaim the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was raised to new life on the third day, having been crucified. And as the good news was shared by the angelic evangelists, the memory of Jesus' previous words to them was triggered in the women's minds. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Words that at the time they failed to take seriously, yet here they are revealed in all their prophetic wonder with the empty tomb before them. And in their remembering, the women are led from darkness into light, from doubt into faith, and from death to life. The women following this amazing encounter return to the wider group of disciples who were gathered together, including the remaining 11 of Jesus' core group. And they share this wonderful experience of the empty tomb with them. Yet, this group have a reaction which is similar to many whom we encounter, who we share the news of the risen Jesus with. In the words of Ebenezer Scrooge, the others essentially say humbug to them. The words of these women are insufficient to convince these men who are huddled in their fear and grief. There'll be nothing that will shift these men from their unbelief except the physical presence of Jesus in their midst. Faith is not usually the direct result of simply hearing the truth about Jesus. We can tell people about the reality of the resurrection. We can give them historical proofs, witness statements. But people need more than just the facts of the resurrection. To find faith, people need to meet with the risen Jesus, to encounter him for themselves. And Peter went and sought that encounter. He rushes to the tomb. Something in the women's words, however ridiculous they might have sounded to him, has made him want to break cover and investigate for himself. And so he finds himself in the empty tomb, with strips of burial cloth lying discarded. And he's left wondering, what on earth has happened here? And Peter hasn't come to a place of faith at this point, but he's opened himself up to the possibility of something new having happened. This was the first day of the new creation. It is a fixed point in history, yet it is one that we can experience today. It is a moment in the past that transcends the space-time continuum through the mystery of God, as the resurrection is both a past and a present event. There is a reason why the early church switched from worshipping on a Sabbath to worshipping on a Sunday. And that is because the Sunday was the day of resurrection, the first day of the new age, the first day of the new creation. And each week as we gather as followers, or would-be followers of Jesus, on Sunday we are engaged in some kind of spiritual time travel. We're connecting what we do today with what happened on that day, first Easter Sunday. We are saying that we are the people of the resurrection. We are an Easter people. Without Jesus' resurrection, we would not be the church. It's obvious to say, but it is vital to remember. One of the great Easter readings from the Old Testament is found in Psalm 118. And those of us who managed to chase the dawn this morning heard these words: "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." And Peter used these words when he was writing his first letter. And he follows it up by saying these words in his letter: "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. All because of what Jesus has done, you are now God's people. As the church of Jesus today, we are the people who share in the wonder of the resurrection. We are the people of the new day. We are the people of the new creation. We are a resurrection people." And it is the resurrection that confirms the truth of the gospel. And that is why Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and all your faith is useless." Without the resurrection, Jesus would just be another failed martyr in a rich history of Jewish failed martyrs. Yet in the resurrection, God crowns Jesus as the Messiah, as his Son, as our Saviour, and our Lord. There is a sense of wonder and awe in the resurrection we should never lose. Yet, if we have been around church, if we've been a Christian for a long time, the resurrection can become, like many parts of our faith, just part of the furniture. It's something we believe, something we know to be true, but something that can lose its luster and its shine. It becomes a belief of faded glory, not a reality that continues to transform our lives day by day. It doesn't help, I think, that there are so many books written about the cross. There are so many songs that we sing about the cross. Yet sometimes it's hard to find books and songs that are written about the resurrection. We trolley them out for Easter, but for the rest of the year we tend to ignore them. Yes, people, as a people we are redeemed by the cross. We are a cruciform people, but without the resurrection we would not be a people at all. We perhaps need a bit more of the joy and hope of the resurrection in our lives as followers of Jesus today to combat the cynicism and despair of the world around us. I heard from someone this week who's having a really tough time. And even though things are looking dark, he knows that the light shines just a little bit brighter in his life because it was Easter Sunday coming. Why? Because as John writes in the prologue of his gospel, words that are more commonly read on Christmas Day, "The light shines in the darkness." I thought it was up there, but it's not. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." As followers of Jesus, as a resurrection people, we are to live in the light, to walk in the light, to proclaim the light, because it is the light of the new day has dawned in our lives. We are a resurrection people. Because we are a resurrection people, the resurrection needs to shape how we live our lives today. There's a reality to the resurrection that should shape who we are and how we act, form our character and virtue. Paul, at the beginning of chapter 3 of his letter to the Colossians, writes these words: "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ." And he is describing this new day that is to dawn in the life of followers of Jesus when they come to faith. the possibility of a new start, or new starts, which is what most of us need, Jesus raises us up. Jesus gives us a chance to live differently, to live a better life in him through the power of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on to describe the kind of life that we've been raised up to in Christ in verses 12 to 15. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. This is the resurrection kind of life. The life that we will fully lead when we are resurrected in the new creation. But it's a life we can try and lead now. And the resurrected life is an aspirational life. Not aspirational as the world would see it, with a good job, nice house, healthy salary, but aspiring to be clothed in the virtues of Christ, living as if the future day of the new creation, of which Jesus' resurrection is the first fruit, has already arrived in our lives. In coming to faith in Jesus, Jesus raises us up. Gives us a second chance. That second chance he gave the whole of creation is given to us in our lives. Jesus declares a new day. A first new day has dawned in us. And that's what it means to be born again. Jesus does that for us as he raises us to new life within him. And we get to live differently. We get to live in a way that shows that darkness has turned into light, doubt has turned to faith, and death has turned to life. We get to live in a way that shows the resurrection of Jesus is not only a historical fact, not simply a religious celebration, but it is a transforming and ongoing action in our living today. I saw this headline in the paper last weekend. Returning Jesus shakes off the rust. It was about the Arsenal striker, Jesus, who's just come back from a long-term injury. But it's also an appropriate Easter message for our lives. Jesus shakes off the rust of our old life in his resurrection. And in return, he gives us a chance to live a new life. To live with the first day of the new creation dawning in our lives. This resurrection day, may the risen Jesus come and shake off our rust. Help you to know that you can be raised with him. That you can live the resurrected life today and all your days. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your resurrection. That it isn't just some historical fact, but it is a life-changing reality that we can experience. Lord, we thank you that you raise us up to be with you. That you come into our lives and change us for your glory. Lord, may the new day of the resurrection dawn in our lives in a special way this Easter. Amen.